Whenever you're looking at any kind of deal, look at it from its face value. So in other words, what are the real construction costs? What's your rate as far as your borrowing rate? What's that? What's your land cost? What is that? And what is that potential market? And be real about it.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. If you're paying attention, you know that you only make money when you work. It might be great money, but it's dependent on you. The information on this podcast will help you solve that. We interview experts and provide analysis into financial freedom through commercial real estate. Why? To help physicians like you thrive. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. This is your host, Dr. Michael McManus, and we are here today with Dean Hunt. Dean is the Vice President of Business Development at Bayland Builders here in Green Bay. He was appointed to that position within 1 year of joining the company. He currently markets to a large geographic area here in Northeast Wisconsin and has a sales team where they maintain a 70% repeat business ratio. He's also worked with the executive team to increase their annual sales from $65 million to $190 million. That seems like a really big number to me. So welcome to the show, Dean.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on. A little snippet of what I do as Vice President of Business Development. So my job is to deepen our relationships within our existing markets and our existing client base, but also to investigate and identify potential new markets and then work on penetrating those new markets and getting balanced presence. Once I'm kind of the door opener to a lot of that, identifying new opportunities, new developments, and then getting Bayland set up within once I identify a lead. But then I turn that over with the sales department and work with them then to take it to construction, right? And get whatever the project is built. So I'm kind of on the forefront of a lot of new markets, a lot of what's happening in the industry. And if you have a lot of technical questions about the construction of a building, that's not going to be my area of expertise.
Right now in the Green Bay area, there's a lot of commercial building going on, and it seems like a lot more than in the recent past. Is that true, or is that just a perception?
No, I would say for the last, I'd say 7-8 years, it's just been continuing to grow throughout Northeast Wisconsin, a commercial construction phase of things. We're seeing a lot of different markets. Obviously, some markets there has been some hits to and haven't been as strong, but a majority of the markets that we deal with, from manufacturing and industrial warehousing to multi-tenant apartments, which a lot of people have seen a lot of those and keep asking me the question, like, how many more can be built, right? And the truth of it is if you ask any municipality, they're going to tell you they're probably at about a 15 to 19% gap in the market of where they need to be from that category of housing. So that's an area, especially if you look around Lambeau with a lot of the multi-tenant apartments going up around there, you think, gosh, you know, how can we handle any more? But the truth is as soon as they're built, they're being filled. First-time retiree generation that's looking to move into that kind of housing. And then you have the millennials and those coming out of college that aren't buying homes as they once were. And we're not a residential from an individual home company. So that has slowed in the last few years. So I think part of that is a reflection of that. You know, those people are moving into apartment living, condo living, and not so much in the individual homes. And I know that has slowed down out there. And then you've got the 2025 draft, where it's, especially in the Green Bay market, is driving a lot of hotel, hospitality type housing and other factors that are going to kind of play on that business, which scares me a little bit, wondering what happens once that's gone. So that's good. Retail, a lot of people are saying retail's dead. It's not dead, it's just different. Retail has changed. Big box stores, obviously, is we've seen a lot of that kind of disappear. And I think we're going to see more changes to that market as well. But you're seeing a lot more the chicken wars with the retail fast food chicken places. That's still going on. They're all battling for that. There's other brands still looking to come to this area. Fast food has changed a little bit because of COVID. So we've seen maybe not so much in-house dining as increasing their drive-through capacities and their ability to deal with that. It's kind of interesting because I just noticed and I stopped at the De Pere Starbucks and I haven't been in there in a while and they did a remodel recently. and they have like no tables on the inside, and they have their counters is more of a the call and pick up their order kind of leave market, and they've kind of moved away from people hanging out in there all day. So those trends you're seeing changing retail, maybe a little bit more independent boutique type places are doing well, but it's still there. We do a lot of work for Culver's. They're still doing well, growing across the country. Warehousing did slow down a little bit, I think primarily driven by cost of construction and financing. So we saw an increase in interest rates. And a lot of warehousing has been driven by developers the last few years. So in order for them to get to a certain lease rate, they're struggling to find tenants that are willing to pay $15 a square foot to $17 a square foot, especially when a lot of existing space was out there was in like the $4 to $7 a square foot. So it's been a huge jump. And that slowed down the market. Overall need for it is still there. There's not a lot of inventory out there. So it's just trying to figure out how to get things to a price point that makes sense from a developer standpoint. So yeah, there's a lot of different things happening. There's a lot of construction going on. We've really enjoyed these past years of just increasing sales over year. And I really don't see anything slowing down, even with the increase in interest rate. It's just costs have kind of come into control. That was something else that we saw beginning of last year, especially was cost of materials really went up. We saw the effect of the supply chain issues, and most of those have caught up now. There was issues with getting air conditioning units and heating units. Probably the only one that's really still out there is electrical boxes. And you may have heard that in the market that can be 12 to 18 months to get an electrical box. So planning your opening date is really important to making sure you have power for that date. So that's had an impact on construction. But overall, I think there's a lot of cash-rich companies out there and are able to combat the interest rates by putting more cash up front in a development so that it isn't, that the banking side of it isn't as costly. It's been good.
It seems like things have cooled down in other parts of the country that were super hot as interest rates went up a little bit. And at least the reports I read say the Midwest has been a little bit more resistant to that. Have you seen that where the seems like things are still going on and haven't really backed off?
Yeah, they often say that here in the Midwest that we're kind of usually slow to any kind of recession, and we're slow to feel the impacts of some of those more national drivers. And I believe that true as well. I belong to a couple different national organizations, and you see some of the trends on different industries and what's going on there. And then I get a phone call the next day with a company in that category that wants to do something. And I go, okay, well, I guess that's not affecting us here. I think a little bit in Wisconsin, especially, I think maybe a little bit more conservative. And so we've never really gone too far one way or the other. And I think we're able to absorb some of those cost factors that we're experiencing right now. A lot of companies didn't overbuild in the past, so they still, now they need to build and they're ready to go. And I think a little smarter too, from a supply chain standpoint, as far as working with the subcontractors to suppliers, we are able to get everything done that we needed to get done in the time frame we needed to. So yeah, to answer that question, I think it is true that we're not going to feel the effects that some of our, the East Coast or West Coast or down South. Labor, that's still the, probably one of the biggest drivers, I think, from a national standpoint. And we do have that issue here. The labor pool that we're drawing from is the same labor pool that all the subcontractors are drawing from, to the factories are drawing from. And we're seeing a lot of people just trading places, trying to track them into our company. So I was talking to our HR executive, and he said, Dina, you know, I'll have a hiring event. I'll make 30 offers. I'll get 15 people show up for the first day. I'll get 10 for the second day. I'll maybe get 5 that I retain. So, I mean, that filter of that labor pool is just extremely fast. It just cuts right down. So we're, I think, have been continually hiring for the last 5 years. And just, we haven't been able to do that. And so that does have a little bit of an impact on scheduling and the ability of how much work we can take on. And then eventually that does work into cost, right? So you have the subcontractors, our suppliers. A couple of years ago, the price of concrete went up pretty substantially. And part of it was they just didn't have drivers to deliver it. So they just started increasing the cost of per yard. And I think that relates back to something we talked about earlier, Michael, where's, what are some watch-out factors? What are some things of somebody looking to get into development one of the questions I get all the time is like, well, you know, I'm watching interest rates and I'm watching costs of construction materials. When should I build? And putting on my economist hat and crystal ball, I'm going to say build right now, because even though we've seen some drops in construction costs from a material standpoint, if I look at my years in construction, here's where it was when I started, here's where the cost is today. It just continually goes up. There may be some little drops. And if you want to play that game of trying to time it to save a few dollars on some material costs because it drops, that's difficult to plan and difficult to do. And for instance, we had some people that, you know, pulled back during COVID because they were all nervous about what that was going to do to the world, like everybody was, right? And they held off on building. So then we were all set to go forward once the world started opening back up. Well, then we start seeing the supply chain cost factor coming in. We saw the influx of material prices go up. So then they pulled back because they said, well, oh, we'll wait till these costs come back down. So they waited on COVID, they waited on those costs. And the cost in some areas came down a little bit, or wood, lumber is about pretty decent price right now. But everything else, just steel, stayed the same, and concrete didn't really come back. And now they're kicking themselves because interest rates went up. So as much as they were trying to save on some of that other things, but their production schedule, their need, their customers' need for them to continue to produce was still there. So now they're kicking themselves because 2 years later, it's way higher than it would have been if they would have just done it at the time they were ready to do it. So long story short, I think you always just, if you're ready and you have the capability and the market is there, some of your listeners are looking for getting involved in apartments or multi-tenant, the demand is there. I think you got to look at going for it. You know, interest rates are higher than they were a couple of years ago, but they're not that out of line, really, if you look at the history of interest rates, right? I mean, yeah, getting back to 3% is going to be tough. So if you're at 7, 8%, it may not be that bad, but you can play that waiting game, but we'll see what happens to the material costs.
It seems pretty normal. And if you line up a bunch of economists and talk to them, that you can find lots of different answers about what's going to happen with rates. So a lot of our listeners are passive investors. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody was looking at a ground up construction deal, it's one of these, sometimes you'll see bigger returns and it's this scarier thing. For somebody who's in the ground up business, are there any things that to you would be red flags? And then we can go on to green flags when looking at a deal where you kind of go, these guys might not pull that off.
Yeah. So a really good friend of mine and has done multiple development deals, he gave me some really good advice one time. And he said, Dean, whenever you're looking at any kind of deal, look at it from its face value. So in other words, what are the real construction costs? What's your rate as far as your borrowing rate? What's that? What's your land cost? What is that? And what is that potential market? And be real about it, especially something like a multi-tenant or like a hospitality type project. What's your occupancy rate in real terms? So in other words, you know, usually if they're like, you want to look at about a 70% occupancy rate to, you know, if you take a look at just that, the real core of a project, and it works, and the return is where you want it to be, great. What I've been seeing a lot in the last 4 or 5 years is the term capital stack. All of a sudden, you have those numbers, but then they have, well, it's in an opportunity zone. There's a municipality is offering a TIF. There's also this other tax credit or this other loan program. And now you've got all these multi-leveled dollars that can come out of the project to make this number look more attractive. He said, that's a bonus. Look for those things as a bonus. If it works up here, just on the core of what that project is, your occupancy rate, what you can charge from a lease rate, and what the costs of construction are, and it works, then that's all bonus. But don't rely on that, because what ends up happening is some of those factors can change when you're going through the process. You may be at a point of no return. You've got all this money invested in a project and you go, okay, well, we didn't get the opportunity zone tax credit. That's going to make this project a 2% less of a return. Or are you going to have to ask the investors to kick in more money? And some of the projects I've seen recently in the area that have struggled, and there's been some news reports. We're not involved in them, so I don't want to bring them up and make it look like I'm bad-mouthing anybody. But when I looked at those projects originally, they had a lot of multi-factors in there. Well, now you had interest rates go up. So they're borrowing at 5, 6% also went up to 7%. Where does that money come from? Well, that comes from the investors, right? To kick more money in. So the one thing is just to look at on the basis of what the project is, does it work there? No, all that other stuff, great. Those are all bonuses. Those are things that get applied to help bring it together. The other thing would be, you know, if they are, like you said, passive investors, is who's all in the package that they're looking at? Who are the other investors? Are they real? I'm really reluctant and leery of projects that have somebody putting all together all the numbers that's just working for a developer fee. They're not themselves invested in the project. We tend to walk away from those deals. We want whoever's involved in it, whoever's putting the numbers together, they're also part of the investment, okay?
We'll get back to our show in a minute, but first I want to offer you an opportunity to accelerate your learning. My life changed and my ability to start becoming work optional changed when I gained the people and the knowledge to start investing in commercial real estate. One of the key people there was Ash Patel, and joining his Invest Beyond Multifamily Mastermind. With that, I had the people and the knowledge. Well, that mastermind is no longer open, but for a fraction of the price, Ash has now made a course, and this is probably the most valuable set of information, the quickest way to move along your learning curve. So if you are interested in actively investing in commercial real estate and retail and industrial and office, I would recommend this course to you. We're going to include a pre-sale link both in the show notes. It'll also be on the surgeonsyndicate.com website. And in your checkout, we'll save you another 1%. I know it's not a lot, but every little bit helps if you use the discount code MIKE1487. So take that step now and move your future forward. If you're not interested in investing actively, give us a call here at Fortress Capital and let's talk about what your goals are as a passive investor. But it's time to stop listening, start acting, and let's move your future forward.
I've seen some of those projects where people are working just they set these projects up, so they get paid no matter what, they're going to walk away. And I just want everybody to have skin in the game when it comes to our projects. And then also, where's the homework? As a contractor, we get involved a lot, and we are design builds. So we have architects and engineers on staff. And we've been asked to, not as part of the development team, but to come in as a contractor. And they've already bought the land. It's all ready to go. And we take one look at the land and say, you're going to have to bring in 4 feet of fiddle on the site. And they're just gone. So did they do their homework on the site? Especially in a ground up situation, if it is an existing building that's going to be remodeled, one of the first things I would recommend is get a contractor and a subcontractor team together to go take a look at that building, because depending on how long it's been vacant, how it's laid out, your infrastructure costs can kill you. I mean, you may look at it and go, this is a cool old building. This is really neat. We can do some cool apartments. We can do some condos over here. And we've gone in and looked at it and said, okay, but you know that to do your plumbing and heating and cooling, your electrical, I mean, that cost is going to be so high because a building, yeah, it's a great building and it's built very solidly, but all that concrete, that's all going to be taken out. And we got to run all the stuff so they have individual units that you can heat and cool and for your tenants. And now all of a sudden, those costs can balloon up really fast. And that's something too. So site work, what needs to be done there? Where it's located from a municipal standpoint, I guess the word is entitlement services. So make sure you have somebody that really knows what they're doing when it comes to entitlement services. Is it zoned properly? Is there sewer and water, depending on what you need for the market you're going after? I run into situations where I worked with a developer and they were working and putting a technical school location up, and they were getting this great deal from the municipality, but there was no sewer and water, and it was an electrical welding training facility. And basically the municipality said, well, we have it on the other side of Highway 41. So then the question was, okay, so if we bring that, we have to go underneath Highway 41 with the sewer and water to get it to this site, because they weren't going to allow a holding tank and everything else. And it was like, okay, you talk to the DOT, and DOT is like, no, you're not doing underneath Highway 41. So just somebody that's doing that research and looking into all these different factors, because those entitlement services, even if you do hire an outside company just to come in and do that, make sure, you know, everything is right, a few $1,000s up front can save you tens of thousands of dollars in the back end if it's done right, and make sure that you have, like I said, zoning. Or you may not even realize that there may be a setback issue from a road, and a few feet could really hurt your building size and therefore your rentable rate that you can charge, or their parking requirements may hurt what you can do depending on the type of client you're going after, or they don't allow semis down the road that you're locating your manufacturing facility on. So I think that's another kind of watch out. What I recommend is just don't be afraid to bring somebody in that will be able to look at all these different angles and just come up and go, okay, yeah, this is a watch out area. I had a developer that was looking at a renovation of an older building, was going to do first floor retail. Had a client lined up for two floors of office, and then they were looking at some apartments and then a rooftop coffee shop green space area for the tenants of the building. And they were all excited because they had two floors of an office tenant. Didn't really have the retail in place, but it was an older manufacturing facility that they were convert. City was all behind it. Everything was great. But we walked around the building with one of my architects, and before they showed up, I said, you know, what do you think? This, I don't know, probably $6-7 million. And I said, yeah, that's kind of what I thought, just based on square footage. And this was out without even going inside or having plans. We just kind of mentally just budgeted. So we walked around with the developers. Then we walked through all the floors. They told us what they're going to do, gave us some preliminary stuff that they had laid out. And I said, so I'm curious, where is your head? What do you think this project is going to cost? And this is after they already bought the building. And they said, about $2 million. So we were like, okay, we're not going to be able to get from $5-6 million down to $2 million. Okay. And if your numbers are based on that $2 million to make this project flow for you, I mean, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but it's the reality of it. And that group actually did walk away from the project, and they found a buyer for the building and got out, and everything was great. But they were just shocked because they had no clue that was going to be. And if you're building your spreadsheet based on $2 million, and then all of a sudden it comes back at seven, you're going to be hurting to try and get that rent. So I think just getting those expertise involved right away, it can save you so much money.
Thank you for joining us today on Surgeon Syndicate. We're going to wrap up this first half of our conversation with Dean Hunt here on the feasibility of some commercial building products. So please come back and join us for the second half of our conversation, as we're going to discuss more on what it takes to make a ground-up commercial project go. Thank you again for joining us on Surgeon Syndicate. We'll see you next time. We'll get back to our show in a minute, but first I want to offer you an opportunity to accelerate your learning. My life changed, and my ability to start becoming work optional changed when I gained the people and the knowledge to start investing in commercial real estate. One of the key people there was Ash Patel, and joining his Invest Beyond Multifamily Mastermind. With that, I had the people and the knowledge. Well, that mastermind is no longer open, but for a fraction of the price, Ash has now made a course. And this is probably the most valuable set of information and quickest way to move along your learning curve. So if you are interested in actively investing in commercial real estate, in retail, in industrial, in office, I would recommend this course to you. We're going to include a pre-sale link both in the show notes. It'll also be on the surgeonsyndicate.com website. And in your checkout, we'll save you another 1%. I know it's not a lot, but every little bit helps if you use the discount code MIKE1487. So take that step now and move your future forward. If you're not interested in investing actively, give us a call here at Fortress Capital. And let's talk about what your goals are as a passive investor. But it's time to stop listening, start acting, and let's move your future forward. This has been an episode of Surgeon Syndicate. If you found value in this episode, no other surgeons are hungry to become job optional. You can help them by sharing this content today. I also want to serve you better, so I want to offer you two things. Number one, I'll be able to give you the content in an even better way if you can take a moment and leave an honest review of the show explaining what you like and what you don't. Number two, if you are a surgeon and serious about this, you don't want to do this on your own because you don't want to make mistakes with your money. I'd be happy to help. Schedule a call and we can make a plan. I'm looking forward to having you with me on the next episode.